Welcome to the work session of the Board of Education of the Logan City School District for meeting in room 4 of the district's temporary offices. All 5 board members are present, as well as our business administrator, Jeff Barton, Superintendent Frank Schofield, and our executive assistant, Rachel Penn. I'll turn the time to Frank to discuss with us some of the things concerning the statement that we put out or have used in the past were concerning stable neighborhoods.
Yeah, so thank you all, and thank you, Rachel, for giving these copies out to everyone. So as we've received, or as there's been conversation at the city level, city council, desiring some input from the district regarding the proposed development out west of Woodridge Elementary, we haven't received a request for information from the city. It's just the statements made in the meeting. But before we do anything, what I wanted to do is, again, have a chance for the board to review the resolution that previously the board has approved regarding stable neighborhoods. Generally, as developers have come to us and asked for input, what I've done with them is I share this. Say, these are the priorities of the board. These are the things that we've put together. If you have a development that you can identify addresses these needs, then generally we're supportive of it. If you cannot, or if there are needs that it doesn't address, then there's a possibility that there will be some questions addressed to the city. So with that, following that pattern, what I wanted to see is share this with everyone, have the discussion, and see if these still reflect the principles that we want to be advocating for as a board, and if so, how do we want to use that as a stepping forward tool with the city and communicating with developers.
I have one like it, but I think the most urgent one is in Cole's neighborhood, that what you just mentioned. And the article and the information that I've looked at, it seems like almost 100% of the, not 100%, 90% of the people are against it because it's another multi-housing, high-density type of a thing. Now, they're trying to put it painted as a combination of some single-family homes, but also the multi-housing issue. And I think that's where, as a school district, we have the most dilemma, like working with the railroad tracks project. Their best estimate is that there are 150 plus children in those multi-housing units, and that's just fine while their age is 1 to 5, but we know that as soon as they get to an age or to a number of children, that they're going to move to the county, because we aren't building single-family dwellings for them to stay in Logan City. So, to me, that has to be our biggest argument for this kind of a statement, is that we need single families to stay in our school district and come to the school district. Yeah. And multi-housing is not helping us do that.
I 100% agree with what you said, right? The city of Logan, after having talks with them, Visionary Homes as well, I've had discussions with Visionary Homes. Visionary, the reason they're pushing this is they're able to get government loans to accommodate $375,000, and that's why they're pushing to get this development. It's because they know that they could get these townhomes and condos sold because of that $375,000 loan that they could get. And so that's what they're pushing. And the city, it seems like the city is supportive of it because they just want more affordable housing. And so, after talking to the city members and Visionary, it just kind of seems like they are going to pass this. The big concern in the Woodruff neighborhood with my neighbors, lots of people I've talked to, is the intersection of 600 South and 10th West. And they came to me and told me, after talking to a few people on that, and they said, well, Cole, this is going to be your duty to do. And so I'm trying to get discussions with UDOT asking UDOT to start looking into this, because that's the biggest concern they have of kids crossing that intersection, which I've talked to the city as well, because the city said they're going to have to get at least another crossing guard for the other side of that intersection when this housing development is there, because you're going to have a lot of kids coming on the north side and south side now coming towards Woodruff Elementary, so it's going to be a big, big issue when that all takes place.
Just a quick question, anybody can answer this. Pedestrian overpasses to go over 10th West, is that a UDOT cost, City of Logan cost, shared cost with the developer? I know they're not cheap, but is that a option?
UDOT said it sounds like it's a UDOT cost. That's what the city's saying.
That's a state highway. It would be UDOT, but the problem is it's also supposed to be the truck reroute off Main Street. So you've got to build it so that all the trucks can get underneath it.
Because of the usage of it.
So you're going to have quite a cost.
And that's been the challenge, because they don't want to drop the
speed limit.
The speed limits, because it's supposed to be the byway, to be the byway that gets the semis through.
We really tried to push it when they redid down there, when they were widening the road. We talked to them about, please look at getting an overpass. And they said they did, but it did not qualify for one.
Mm-hmm. This project's very similar to the one they built out of Vineyard. There in Providence, the north half of that, was in River Heights, and they were trying to do the same thing, and people of River Heights turned it down. But I'm just wondering if there's any way to get statistics of what kind of numbers of children and stuff from Cass County came out of that Vineyard development, so we have an idea of what this would really generate. Is it really low-income housing that's going to, you start talking about these government lending programs, typically if they leave early, they have penalties on some of those, so and I don't know which ones they're talking about, probably just typical FHA lending, but anyway, I don't know if there's a way we can get a comparable to look at to know what to expect if this is going to happen.
They're looking at 209 units, so that's the houses plus the apartments. Talking to Vision, they said that they're going to stick to the plan, but then I've also talked to a few others that have said that once Visionary gets the 9 units per acre, that they will go back on their word. So I don't know if we could trust a developer. So if that's the case, we'll have to see what happens.
Boy, you can trust them. I've loaned them a lot of money. All these developers over my lifetime, and they are trustworthy. They pay us.
But if you get a zoning change, then they often will come back several years later and say it's no longer financially feasible in order to make it. My neighborhood is an example of that. Where we got things down zoned to single family homes, and then you turn around and then things do change. And I will say, behind me, they are on 6-acre lots. They were supposed to be senior, 55 and over, one level. Mm-hmm. They were, because the city required them to be wider roads, then that made it so it was legal for them to do whatever they no longer were 55 and over. And I have 2-story houses behind me all the way. And they are on 1/6 acre. And I thought, that's going to be awful. But we have some really great families who have moved into those, what I consider a really small lot. But they have a yard of their own instead of across the street in the condominiums. And they're seeming to put down roots. We need to convince them that when their kids are old enough, they want them to come to Bridger. But, I have kind of had a bit of an epiphany, because those 6-acre lots, those houses are $350,000 plus.
That's the reason why they have to build small
lots. And they need to be on small lots, because you can't get into a home. I've also found out, talking with friends, it's hard to find a condo or a townhouse in our community. And so there is a need, and we find over the years, you know, I'm sure, Greg, you know, it goes up and down, the different kind of housing, but it seems like there is a great need, affordable housing especially, but housing in general, it seems like there is a great need. And so it's one reason we came up with this resolution. Some of it, you know, I think may want to be changed, but it also talks about that we as a board appreciate diverse housing options, but would like stability. So that means don't just dump all the apartments like they did between 14th North and 18th North.
Yeah.
You know, all in one place where you have 2,000 units all together, but that we need to look at the idea with this, the city is that you should be able to be a new student up in the Hillcrest neighborhood, a starter home, a medium home, your big home, and a senior development all in the same neighborhood. Adams has been that way in the past, that you can stay in that neighborhood forever and you put down roots. And so I have changed my thinking a little bit, but stability, we one time did a presentation to the city council where we put poverty and city zoning totally aligned, where the city had zoned things and where there is poverty in our school district.
So you did prove this thing talking about demonstration of correlation between...
We did. We went and we did a...
I was wondering what...
Herm Olson and others were on then, and we, you know, had all the numbers. And we could do it again if that's what we wanted to do.
This proposed developments in Logan City now, or is it being solved?
Yeah.
These students are our students.
Yeah, these would be our students. Property tax revenue would be our property.
So it's a WPU plus the property tax.
Yeah.
Yep.
So,
I mean, from the standpoint of economics, is great, other than they're all Woodruff, you know, the public capacity at Woodruff.
Yep.
Yeah. We would have to... We probably have to take the neighborhoods that previously were pocket bus to Adams and start doing that again. Yeah, down the trailer park in Springs.
And how many single family units are there called in this?
I believe there's 60 something.
So
209. I think it's 60. Mm-hmm. Right. So they're, or 40. They're 45.
Just
or maybe it's 45.
Lots. Really small houses, and when they say really small, they're probably 2,500 two-story houses.
Yeah, they got 6,000 square feet lots and 4,000 square feet lots, and then the condos. So there's more condos than anything.
Are they going to sell the condos? Do you know?
They're going to sell the condos.
So it's not a rental property.
That makes a difference.
No. Yeah, which they said it might become rental properties, though. So they might. But it's going to have an HOA, they said, on it as well.
Yeah.
So, and it is a mixed use, which the city council says they love the plan because of the mixed use.
To all the developers.
Yeah, so.
It's hard when they do what you ask them to do to
now,
turn them down, I suspect.
Looking at Woodruff, I was realizing we got probably about 100 school choice students, I believe, at Woodruff that are like kids that would go to Ellis or go to Hillcrest. Or because their families live down in that area, or they're supposed to be bused elsewhere, and the parent is like, I'm just going to drop them off at Woodruff. And so I'm looking at this saying that it's really the west side is where it's growing, and we're going to have Woodruff capacity, Ellis's, and Bridger. I know that they're talking about, you know, Adams that, but really there's a huge need there at the west side of elementary, so something to really think about.
What we talked about with the city, but still not certainty, is that in the Bridger area?
Adams
area.
Yeah.
That proposal.
Yeah.
And all that was multifamily. Is that correct?
Yeah. So, yeah, there's a lot of changes coming here in the next 5 years, I believe. So.
Possible.
Nothing like that. I can't imagine it ever changes in this valley.
Yeah.
I was at a soccer game where I saw Tony down in where Nibley and Logan meet. It's not Logan City School District, but it's Logan City. And boy, there are a bunch of condos, townhomes in that area. And we've kind of backed off of even commenting on those because they're not in our school district.
The whole province has gotten overrun by this project.
And North Logan City is similar.
Took me 25 minutes to find my grandson's soccer team out in Blackhawk. And you know, going on the way through Nibley, coming back. You don't know where the right road is here.
So the discussion here is whether to amend this resolution or keep as is, or what is that one for?
Adopt a new one.
I think there are a couple questions. One is whether we feel the resolution still addresses our principles, the ideas that we want to promote, and then is based on that resolution, what information do we want to give the city regarding the proposed development?
I will say this, when you go to a city council meeting representing the Board of Education, if you have this with you, then it's not just Ann Geary's opinion, Cole's opinion, it is the Board of Education feels strongly about this, we passed a resolution. One class that I went to at NSBA about policy, their board has more resolutions than they have policies, and they have their resolutions in their policy manual so that someone could find their resolutions. And that's something, if we do readopt this or something like it, I would recommend that we put it some way with our policy manual, even if it's resolutions at the back, so that everyone can access it.
I agree.
So who's going to the meeting next week?
I'll be there the 16th.
We've got a school board meeting the same time.
Is it the 16th?
Mm-hmm.
I would meet next week. 5:30.
And that's when the city's meeting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We got a problem. I looked at that and thought.
Yeah, I talked about that, yeah.
And we do that because the next week we have stuff.
Next week
we got graduation. Mm-hmm. We have to
move. Got a banquet, candlelight. That
we're going to stay off for 3 days, but we did.
And so we probably ought to have Cole take this signed by all of us and get it up to each of the council members.
Yeah.
Before the meeting.
Yeah.
Well, and do we need to adopt it? If I guess it's one thing to say this is what's been adopted previously, but if we're going to put our names on it, it probably should be done in an open meeting, and it's not on the agenda today.
No.
But what we could say, this is what we're talking about, and we will be adopting again a similar resolution.
Yeah, but it's been previously adopted.
Yes.
I think the second question would be, you know, for the board to be clear with Cole on what the message is we want to send as a board.
Right.
Is it, these are our values, and we ask that you take these into consideration while making a decision? Or is our position, these are our values, and we believe this development violates these values, so we would ask you to vote against this development? I think we've got to decide, what do we want to ask, Cole to say? Do we want to say the board opposes this, or do we want to say, these are the board's values, we ask you to please make sure that these are taken into account when approving new developments?
That's a good point.
Well, the Planning Commission turned it down.
Yeah, they did. They turned it down.
They turned it down.
Yeah.
So now it's come to the City Council. City Council looked at it, and they decided to postpone it so they could talk to us. At least that was one of the
things
that they specifically mentioned, is let's find out how the school district is.
Yeah. It's Mark Anderson.
Rather than say our position is against it, you could say, we could pass out this copy. And I also say that what we're seeing for multi-housing does not appear to provide long-term sustainability for the schools.
Yeah.
We're getting a lot of young kids that subsequently move outside of our boundaries.
And maybe go to kindergarten, preschool, kindergarten, first grade,
yep.
And then families move.
Mm-hmm.
that would be an easier thing to say because we know that's what's happening.
Yeah.
Well, and it's so much easier to say, the board, this is what, and the thing is, even if we don't move on one, I would love one with all of your names on it, because I'm the only one with a name on it, but I would love for us to have one that's updated that we can say in the future, the Board of Education adopted this in 2023 again, and we have the same position we previously have had, or we changed it.
The question is, can Cole pay this next week?
If you're not against it.
Yeah, I mean, it's been previously adopted by the board. Nothing's been done to renege on that or alter it.
No.
So we saw all sign it.
Well, I think if we were to have, I think if we want to all sign it, including Cole, it would be good to have it on next week's agenda to, you know, re-up.
Yeah.
Just kind of re-up it. But I don't think that means that it can't be used as part of the discussion because all other existing board members have been part of that discussion previously. So I think it's available for use as is. It'd be a good thing for us next week to just put it on there and re-up it.
Yeah. We talked about the work session.
Buck said, I'm not in a position now to say we're against that development as a board. I'm not ready to make that. I think this resolution gives us a pretty good starting point because it's a discussion that needs to be longer than a half hour about a specific development, at least from my perspective.
But it is nice when I've actually had developers ask to come meet with me, especially if they're in the Bridge neighborhood. And it's been great to say, this is what we value. Here it is. And are you doing this, and are you doing this, and are you doing this?
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been able to say, I don't see us actively going against your development. And
is everything behind you single family, though?
Everything behind me is. Now, the most recent one that's
just
on...
everything in front.
Yes. the most
so
recent
on
one...
the other side of the fence.
Yes. The most recent one that's on the docket for out there is 50 homes... on quarter, third, and half acre lots. And I thought, I really should go and do rah, 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 we love this. I usually don't. I usually just go to the ones, what are you doing to us? And, you know, when I could say in a voting precinct, there are 8 homes. So of 1,000 voters, I counted, there are 31 of us who live in a home. The rest live in high-density housing. You have a disenfranchised neighborhood there.
Mm-hmm.
That means a lot. And so able to, you know, kind of help them see what their zoning had done to Northwest Logan. And that's one reason why they really pushed for those, and they've really been adamant about single-family homes or businesses in the Northwest neighborhood to be approved now.
Mm-hmm. We need more single-family homes in Logan City itself, and they've acknowledged that as well, the city council has, but yet they feel like they need to pander to Visionary Home with this, and it seems like there's 2 board members that are really fighting against this, but then the other 3 are very for it, so that's why I think it's going to pass to the 9.
Do you have any problems with it, Greg? You see it from the other side?
No, I think we need to be supporting stable housing. That's what stable neighborhoods, that's what
and all the housing
is basically saying.
Yeah.
And I don't see that anybody on the city council would argue with the word stable. Everybody wants that. Compared to any other community, obviously we've got renters galore in our community, both because of the university and just the cost of trying to build a home in Logan anymore. You cannot find the ground to do it on.
So the Planning Commission, though, could ask them to change the numbers a little bit, increase the number of single-family homes versus the multi-housing.
Well, and Visionary's claiming that Logan City doesn't have they have an NR4 and an NR6, and then this NR9 or whatever it's called, but they don't have an in-between because they're saying that they would like an in-between part, because they don't really want to, because right now they're at a six, they're saying, like 6 units per acre, but they really need these condos to really make it financially sound, like said. And so that's why they're really pushing the condos in this area. And there's a lot of mixed emotions on it, because all the housing around that area are single family homes that are built in the 80s, 90s, and the early 2000s. And so that's why a big movement saying, why are you going to change? It's already all single family homes over here. Why are you going to put
this? And they just did that 5 years ago.
And they're surrounded by the springs now.
Yep, they're surrounded by the springs, yep. But then the city's pushing because they are going to take the landfill and make that into a park. And also they're doing another park down there in the wetlands area. And so their thought is this could be a development that could really get more people into those parks in that area. So that's what they're claiming. So, and that's down the road. I guess that's going to become the park area of Logan is going to be the west side. So,
Yeah,
that's what they're going to do, is they're going to cover and put grass over it and make a park out of it.
Just don't want to dig too deep.
Yeah.
That's a new sledding hill.
Cement sledge.
Yeah. A good sledding hill. Get a good view from up there.
Yeah.
Watch the view. Go up there and watch the flooding.
Yes, no, because everything around it is flooded.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. I think this is, I agree with his statements on this, so yeah.
I don't know what to tell you, because I'm worried that this is the future in so many areas because of the cost of housing.
That's...
I was at a family get together, and my wife's cousin, who sells real estate in Linden and Lehigh area, and that said the condos are $450,000 to $500,000 down there. So he's like, he goes, well, at least you're at $375,000 starting out. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy.
I think even if the housing market comes down, I think this is going to be the trend for quite a while. For space considerations,
yeah.
You know, we already know there's a major concern in our valley, and it's in other places as well, for preservation of open space.
Open how do you space, preserve open water, space, all yeah. those
how
things.
You take care of water.
These big lots just take a little water.
And people want to continue to live in Cache Valley, so you start to run out of
open space.
Run out of spaces. For those who are concerned with impact on the environment, the more single family home subdivisions you build with quarter acre lots and larger, the more cars you put on the road.
More lawn.
More travel time, which again is another consideration in our valley with air quality in the winter. So I think these are tricky conversations, because I do think that this is where Cache Valley housing is headed. We don't see it in the county as much as we do in Logan yet, but it is, I mean, that's what a number of the new developments are in the county as well.
Rob, that's good.
In that place.
So what do you want us to do?
We have a master Greg, we want everybody to sign it, so Cole can take it.
Well, I think we shouldn't have Cole sign it until after it's been part of the vote.
Yeah.
So we can do this.
Just take the names out.
Yeah, we can do one that just doesn't have the names on it.
Yep.
We can take it to the meeting and distribute it with the information, and we can have everyone vote on it and sign it next week. Mm-hmm. And just share that message. You know, these are the things that we want to keep emphasizing that we think are valuable. And there will probably be, so what they will do is say, so Cole, does the board approve of or oppose this bill?
Support.
That's the question
that we
need to
ask. But
I think it's also good. This is what the board has taken action on, and you need to look and see whether this development meets this or not.
Yeah.
And then you can say, and I'm speaking as a neighbor of this area.
Making a decision.
Yeah. Yep.
We're not taking a position.
Right. So we wouldn't be saying, you know, we oppose. We'd be saying, these are the things that we prioritized. We've asked, here are the things that we're seeing happen, you know, with this comparable, similar developments. So here are the things that we've asked you to consider as you're making a final decision.
And put it on Woven City Board to look at it and go, okay, the decision's up to you.
Say, hey, here's the criteria we would like for you to use. We haven't been involved in all the conversations. We don't have all the details that you have. We don't know with as much detail what would be required with UDOT. You know, you all as the city have had those conversations. These are the things that we think are important.
I'd definitely make that part of the conversation. UDOT needs to be asked about how they make the safe crossing.
How do we get kids across?
Yeah, because I've never been sure. I know it's based on both amount of traffic, but then I don't know at what point does the number of students walking come into play.
And we don't want to do...
Crossing guards, the city looks at both of those, but I don't know what UDOT looks at.
And unfortunately, where I used to live in Salt Lake, what generated it is how many children were hit or deaths happened on a corner. And we don't want that to ever be the case. But it really is. We don't ever...
At least have somebody killed, and then we know we need to change the safety.
We don't ever want that to be the reason that we put up a...
The other thing with UDOT, you know, South Main, they're talking about the tunnel underneath. I would imagine that's probably based on cars at that location. But I don't know about costs of that. I have no idea engineering costs, but that's just another safety option because the truck.
That's what the university said.
The truck consideration I can see.
Underground.
The tunnel's underneath. You'd want to have a crossing guard or somebody down there to see what our elementary kids are doing in the tunnel, but. But they also do things on overpasses too, we know that.
Two places. Fourth North, the bottom of the hill, and then up by the Fine Arts Center.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I think in most cases, a bridge is both more economical and safer.
The tunnel.
As in, my brother and I, we were in LA once. We were driving in the neighborhood around USC, which is not a great neighborhood.
I was just saying, not a good neighborhood.
And we parked the car and we got some food and went. And they had a tunnel going under this one major highway. We started to walk down the stairs and got about halfway down the stairs and saw there was at least a foot of trash. So we said, never mind, we're not walking through here. So I think tunnels, you get some additional maintenance issues. And
yeah, you want to have some cameras and stuff.
Yeah.
So we got
consideration for that location. It's got to be safe.
Yes, it's safety. The entire board agrees on safety.
Yes, and that's the biggest concern now that neighborhood is that intersection has to be dealt with. And they're figuring it's at least $1 million to do a big upgrade on that.
Steve, and I have for years said we need to buy up some property on the west side and put it a school on the west side of 10th. I know there are a few, but they want exorbitant amounts for anything that's west there.
You ready to shut us down?
This is where I adjourned.
Buy some corn on the west side of town.
So I've just printed a copy of that.
Which is going to represent us.
Thanks, Frank.
The USBA meeting, when they go through and talk about all the rules.
House of Delegates?
Yeah, delegate meeting.
It's often the president who does that, unless the president says, I can't go, who would like to go in my place? I do know Cole is a delegate at large.
In August.
Yes.
Yeah, that meeting, yep. I have it on the calendar. I'm making sure I don't forget that one.
Also, we have the Leadership Academy. Is this coming fall? Yeah, we went. So Frank and Larry, we went.
It's 2 years ago.
About 2 years ago.
Right? September.
And you were with us as well. So yeah, that was the one that was at Zermatt.
Yeah, I was trying to remember the name of that.
That was a good one. So if people wanted to attend that one, that in some ways was actually, in many ways, was better than the January conference. Just the presentations that were given and some of what was going on. So. That might be something that I know we get board leadership and superintendent usually get in, But then if we request to have other board members go, then they'll say, okay, how full are we? And then
open it up.
Sometimes the oldie goldies are on a waiting list, but we've never had it where they haven't been invited eventually.
You mentioned at one time the rural school district conference. Is that something that's... Is that valuable? I don't know if we've ever been, have we?
The people who go talk about it, but that's all I know.
Chris, man, haven't you? Even the rural schools conference?
IU's a urban area.
Yeah, we sent like teacher and principals.
Yeah, it's July 12th, 13th, and 14th.
Just
in Price.
Price, Utah.
City of Price.
Booming metropolis.
Take Julie with you to Price.
That's not the place that you want to go.
Julie has friends there, but Julie doesn't want to go back out of them.
Thanks, Price.
That's interesting. It's a great museum there, though.
So, yeah, it's Utah State University, Easter. Price, Utah. Listen, plan ahead. 2024 will be in Richfield. 2025 will be in Cedar City. And then 2026 will be back in Price. So yeah, that has been a good one.
Have you been?
I have not, but everybody I've talked to
is worth.
I said it's pretty good, but I have not been myself.
I can see what they got for the gym and all that.
Yeah, maybe look at the topics. God.
Might be value. And the state gave us all kinds of money, Jeff. It came out better than we thought.
Yeah.
$6,500, right?
Well, I mean,
or $6,000, I should say.
No.
$441.